Norman, how are you, sir? Welcome to the program. There's headphones right there for you.
Thanks for having me.
Norman, how is it that you and OJ first got together? Can you hear?
All right.
Fix his volume, Spanish.
No,
you got it? Okay.
That's good.
How is it that you and OJ first got together? Where do you meet?
We met in an airplane.
You got to get right up on that mic, Norman, so they can hear you there. There you go. All right.
We met in an airplane hangar. I bought a helicopter company in Miami.
Oh, so Norman's got a lot of money. So well, you bought a helicopter company?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you guys were down there and you started BSing. And what about you did he like? Because I'm sure everybody.
Well, my attorney, it was a gentleman's bet. That's how we really met.
Right.
I promote people.
Okay.
And I build businesses and I help people. And it was just a bet that I couldn't promote him.
He needed help. What year was this?
1999.
Okay.
My attorney was there, and he's like, I gentleman's bet that you can't deal with OJ. And I said, I can promote anybody, any place, anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And so I took the bet.
What else had you done before that we might know?
I built a couple of big companies.
Okay.
You know, public companies.
And what did you see in OJ that you wanted? What did you think that you could do with OJ right away?
Getting back out on the street. I had to change his image from what it was, a Hertz commercial, to more of a bad boy image, but that's what we did.
Well, you really went way over the edge with the bad boy stuff.
Too far.
Made him a bad boy, all right.
Well, he went to his own extreme on that.
What did he... I said this the other day. When I grew up knowing OJ, I didn't watch football until I was, you know, like in high school. And, you know, I'm 44 years old now, so OJ really wasn't a part of my life as a sports guy, but I didn't recognize him from the Hertz commercials and that he was a very good sports player. And then he was in the Naked Gun movies. And that's kind of pretty much what I know about OJ, older athlete. So what did you then do for him that kind of turned that around a little bit?
Well, I didn't know. I'm not a real fan of football, et cetera. I'm not into all that.
Right.
I really don't. So I really didn't know much or anything about him when I met him. It was more of just what I read in the news.
Okay.
So I put him in different places. We started the Tico Arena for 105.5. It was a Clear Channel radio event, and I had him host it.
Oh, really?
And that was the first event I actually brought him back out with a contract with Clear Channel,
which
they didn't like. But I managed to pull it off, and they had, you know, 7,000 people there chanting his name, holding up lighters. And he came off the stage and said, whatever you want, Norm, you got it.
Oh, really? So you impressed him right away?
Well, he didn't think anybody could do that right after the murder
trial. Right, right, right.
How are you getting all these people cheering my name?
So who are the people that are cheering for OJ? Are these mostly just black people? Because
No, it was a mix. It was a hip-hop event, but it was in Naples, Florida. So
right.
It wasn't in a, you know, urban area.
But I think it's very divided. It's pretty much right down the middle. There's not too many white people that think OJ was innocent. And there's a whole slew of black people are like, listen, he may be guilty, but we don't want to give up. Same thing with Bill Cosby. Like, we're pretty sure Bill Cosby did all this stuff, but we're going to hold out just in case we're going to get behind our guy.
I don't really believe that. What I've seen out in the public is different than what we have in the news.
Okay.
There's two worlds of O.J. Simpson.
I don't know either one of them. I don't know. I only obviously know what I see on TV. Tell me the biggest thing that might surprise me about O.J. Is he a nice guy? Is he...
He's a great guy.
There's
the only thing with him is he's... he'll tend to roam off and do things he shouldn't do.
Yes. Is that because of girls? Because of drugs? Because of why? What is OJ? Is he just used to living that party lifestyle?
No, it's just he's just there's something wrong, I think, upstairs sometimes.
You think so? He's got a switch?
Yes, and sometimes he'll do things that he shouldn't do, like signing body parts at a Halloween
party. Right.
Or doing the If I Did It book. Or things like that.
Well, now where were you for that?
I didn't have anything to do with it. Yale Galanter got involved with that, and him and OJ, and I got into an argument with him, and he said, well, they're offering me $600,000 not to dispute. I didn't write the book.
Right.
And there was a suitcase full of money.
You know, but at that point, even I know that any money he makes is going to go to the Goldman family anyway. So what is he trying to do, pay that debt down?
No. That's sort of the bad thing that happened regarding Fox that, you know, was sort of nasty because – none of that went to them. It was a suitcase in cash.
Right. Oh, so.
It wasn't reported.
Oh, I gotcha.
But everybody knows he was paid.
Right.
I mean, they tried to get some of the money back, and they were trying to figure out how to do it. So, I mean, it was a. See, O.J. can't take a check and put it in the bank or the Goldman's.
Goldman's, game. Right.
So anytime you hear a deal going with O.J. Simpson, there's cash involved.
Gotcha, okay.
And he has to have the cash before he ever does anything. If he does something, the people don't have to pay him. What is he going to sue him, say, pay me?
Yeah, he can't because if he gets that money.
So you see, they had that book written before he ever got his cash, and they just said, that's what you're going to have for a book. This is your money.
All right. And he said, fine.
He said, well, okay, give me that suit.
Yeah.
Basically. And then he told me, he said, hey, you know, it wasn't, this is what they did. It wasn't, to him, it wasn't a big thing. He didn't see the backlash, even though I was promoting him in a positive way.
Right. You were trying to turn him around, yes. And that sucked him right back into being a murderer.
Exactly. I'm like, it set us back. And so we had a little dispute then. A little riff that came right between us, because I can't fight something like that body part signing and things. I said, you know, I can fix somebody if they want to be fixed.
Sure, but they got to listen to you.
They do. They have to listen. Like the Vegas thing, he called me before he went into the room. I said, don't go in that room.
You know who else he called before he went in the room? Or he didn't call, but you know who else he was with? These two guys. We were in Vegas that night, and we met OJ that night. And we still say to this day that if OJ would have been like, hey, you two big white fellows, come with me. We need your help for something. We would have been like, come on, OJ, let's go get your stuff back. And we would all went to jail that night. How crazy is that?
Yeah,
we got up the next day, and that was all in the hotel room. And that was all we knew. And we just looked at each other like, oh, my God. Yeah. So you knew that he was going in. He called you and said, see, that's the problem. He seems like the kind of guy that needed somebody with him at all times.
He did.
Yeah.
And if you left him there, it's like a child. He would just roam off and do things where normally I'd say, no, you stay over here.
Right.
When we did our events, I put him in his spots where he was to stay
and
kept the people away from him and kept him away from getting into trouble.
Do you, I'm very much a guy that can separate business, you know, with real life. So if my job is to promote OJ, I don't get, much like a lawyer, if my job is to defend OJ, I'm doing my job. Now, how do you feel now about OJ and the whole murders and all that? I mean, just talking to you for 5 minutes, I get the thing that you realize that he's got that switch in his head enough that'll probably make him go crazy and kill a couple people.
No, I don't think he would kill anybody. He may get angry and swing his hands and whatnot. He's done that to me numerous times.
Swung at you.
Well, not to actually hurt me as much. He just gets really angry.
Yeah, he has a violent temper.
No, he just has a switch.
If you
pop that switch, he'll pop it. But it's not like he would ever. I don't think he'd ever hurt anybody because I tried.
So you don't think he's guilty of the murders?
No, I know. I think he had something to do with it, but I don't think he did it himself.
Right.
All the investigative work that my people. We put our own team together. It's been working on it for over a decade. We've had our own investigators. We've got our own team. That's everything he's told me. We've researched and we've checked out the truths and the faults.
Give me some of the things that might surprise me. I mean, in my mind, I remember when it happened. I wasn't in radio yet. I heard the story. I followed along the trial like everybody else, and I kind of got in radio, so I paid attention to it a little bit more. And it seems to me that at this point, it was pretty obvious that he did it, but only because I know what I've seen on TV. What are some of the things that might change my mind?
That would take a long time.
Well, guy, I mean,
because
like
people who set in their mind is really hard to get. Like the blood drops, for example, that went through the front gate, up the stairs, and into the bedroom.
Right.
Well, if you took the house and actually had a map, which we have, and you check out the blood drops that went up the stairs and into the bedroom, the glove was on the other side of the house, so OJ couldn't have split himself and went into two different directions.
I'll tell you, I watched the first episode of the People vs. OJ. And I said to my wife, this is already making it seem like Mark Furman has planted all this information.
So what happened there, I think, is somebody planted something, it threw off everybody.
Yeah.
And so there's no way they'll ever solve the case because there's too much planted here and not planted there.
Do you think one of the cops, an overzealous cop, Furman or somebody else, was like, listen, he did it, and the only way I'm going to prove he did it is if we have a little bit of extra help and we drop this glove over here, no harm, no foul, it'll help us out, and then I end up screwing everything up?
No, I don't believe one cop did it. Two.
Yeah, oh, really?
I think there was a few. The blood drops that came from Van Adder's tube in his pocket.
Right.
Because the test tube, you know, was missing OJ's blood, and of course it went through there. And the glove in the backside, I think, had something to do with Furman.
And why? To cover their own asses? Were they mad at OJ for something?
No, it's just a black guy, white woman.
Right.
Had to be dealt with. I mean, they actually interviewed the guy who did it, and they let him go.
Oh, really?
So
who is that?
If you Google Glenn Rogers.
Right.
He was actually a serial killer.
So you believe that they were victims of a serial killer, and it had nothing to do with OJ at all. Like when you
No, I'm not saying that because he was painting her house.
Oh, really?
OJ was paying the checks. So if you take that into consideration, he was paying to have him paint her house.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
Glenn Rogers, he's on death row now. If you Google him, he killed 70 women or something.
Here in Florida, too. He's in death row in Florida.
Does he say, does he acknowledge that at all?
Yes, he sent me a letter.
Oh, he did? What did he say?
He wanted me to give a letter to OJ apologizing for what he did, and he's sorry that OJ's in jail now for something he did a long time ago.
Uh-huh, and there's no chance that somebody paid that guy who was on death row to do that to try and make OJ look better?
No.
No.
No, I've talked to the guy. I mean, our investigator has really gotten into him.
So if they, so if you did an interview with him, or investigators did an interview with him, and he reveals information that only he would know, then how come nobody wants to look at that?
Because they won't let us have it. Right now, in my letter, it states, and not just my letter, he's wrote numerous ones, that when he was contacted and he was supposed to do his interview,
right,
he was a suspect. I mean, everybody sort of knows that. The records and all the stuff he said is sealed up in a document that we can't have. And they said it's because he was a drug informant. So there's a drug informant law, I guess.
Where
you can't have those records open because of whatever. It's been so long, I don't see why they don't open them.
Right. I actually have the, if you want to hear it, I have the letter. It says, I do believe you need to hear me out. You won't have to take my my word. A full tape statement in your case was made in 1995. I would need a court order to release it to you, also with lawyer presence that I made.
So he's saying he actually confessed to it, and they have the whole confession on tape. Not just evidence, it's a confession.
Exactly, but he did. Nobody will let me have it. So that part matched up. And then the fact that OJ and Robert Kardashian, if you Google William Woz,
right,
they hired a guy named William Woz to follow Nicole a month beforehand.
Okay.
And he was actually got into a car accident with Paula Barbieri's car and was arrested. And so they found a gun in his car and a laptop with all Nicole Brown Simpson's whereabouts on it.
So
I think what happened is once he was arrested, they had to hire somebody new, and up came Glenn Rogers. And so it was a switchover.
Man, that's too much. That's too much evidence.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You really can't absorb what all my people's put together in 20 years.
Right.
In just 1 minute, because there's so much that goes back all the way down to the Bruno Mali shoes.
Right.
I mean, it got he wore the size 12 Bruno Mali shoes. Well, I've got his footprint from the prison where he outlined his foot. He won't fit in it. He wears a size 13.
Yeah.
So the size 12 he won't fit in.
And that's a big deal to try and squeeze into a Bruno Mali that's a full size smaller than you.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially the Bruno Mali's come in smaller shoes anyway. We have the shoe sole from Italy was shipped over.
Oh, no kidding.
So we matched up the sole with his toes, and you'd have had to cut the end of the shoe out for it to fit.
All right. So now – we have had a guy on the show recently who was, you might be aware of this guy. He's the guy trying to shop a deal. He was a corrections officer in the prison where OJ is. You know that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a little bit of a clown.
Well, the problem sits, and that's what my problem has been, is I couldn't communicate with OJ in prison because of people like him.
Uh-huh.
Everything that went in there, they were writing a book.
Yeah, everybody wanted to try and do something, yeah.
So, you know, when you talk to him, even when we were talking in prison, it was through codes. Now it's just basically I go through other people.
Yeah.
Because talking to him just ends up with another book deal for somebody. Everybody writes a book deal.
Well, one of the things that
I never had a book.
One of the things that was interesting about that guy, why I wanted to talk to him, was because the logic would have been great that OJ might have been Khloe Kardashian's father. Because here you have hot chick Sasquatch, and his DNA being in there might have worked out. But he claims that OJ says he never had sex with her. What's her name? Kim Kardashian's mother.
Chris
Kardashian. And but then you say that that's not true, that they used to party back in the day.
There was a lot of partying. You got to understand, Chris Jenner wanted to be Nicole Brown Simpson.
Yeah.
She wanted everything Nicole had. I mean, and that was just something that was a fight between them, including OJ. She ended up with Bruce Jenner,
right?
Because she wanted her own superstar, you know, sports athlete.
Boy, did she get screwed on that deal!
Yeah. I'm telling you, I feel sorry for her and her.
That's a talent. Well, if you look at the options, at least she's still alive towards the end of it. Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a sad thing that it, you know.
Yeah, your dreams.
I don't know.
All right, so
I feel
so
sorry for the whole situation there.
What would you say? That was what, in the 80s that they were partying together? The Kardashians and the Simpsons?
Yeah, all the way up until the 90s.
And there were a lot of ecstasy?
I guess the 90s, it was sort of a split because it became a rift between, you know, Nicole and the Kardashian.
Right.
So, you know, those two really weren't the best of friends. You know, she always comes in and says, oh, I was the best of friends, best of friends, best of friends. Then, okay, how's Nicole's kids doing?
Yeah. Where are Nicole's kids?
Well, I don't talk about them.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I'm just, you know, it's just
who takes care of them? How about that?
If somebody was really, you know, that big of a friend.
Right, she'd keep track of the family.
She'd take care of them. Why don't you take care of your best friend's kids if they lost their mom and their dad?
Right. Are they well taken care of?
Yeah, they're
okay.
Doing fine.
What about OJ's kids from the first marriage? Didn't the daughter live here? There was a picture popped up recently that said she lived here in St. Petersburg now.
Well, I won't go into all that either. I don't want to bring in any of the kids. I mean, there's people out there. There's a guy out there right now shopping a movie where the kids killed Nicole.
Oh.
I mean, that's how weird it's getting.
Well, that was one of the theories that the son
was
the one that did it and that OJ was taking the heat for him.
Yeah.
I don't know what motive the son would have had to kill Nicole.
No, it's just the blood types would have been the same,
right.
So they could have made a story out of it and hyped it. You know, but it's just sort of sad that they're going after the kids now because OJ's getting older.
Now, because to try to keep it alive. You have 70 hours of footage, video footage of you and OJ.
Yeah.
Is there anything in there that's so revealing and so shocking or will give us a real idea of what OJ is like?
All of it.
Off the camera,
because
yeah?
It shows really what he's like to be around when he's not just in the studio.
Yeah.
When he's just being himself, you know, when he's just...
How close is that to what they're portraying on TV with Cuba Gooding Jr.? Does he refer to himself as the juice? The juice is in handcuffs. That was the most ridiculous part of that whole thing.
No, it's so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind Cuba Gooding Jr. He's a nice guy and all, I guess. But it was bad casting on that one.
Does he have OJ down at all? I mean, you say that you would have gave him the video footage so he could have learned how to do it. Yeah,
his mannerisms and the way OJ is. OJ is different. Some of the people here who's talked to him will tell you he's not that guy.
No, you know who's Joey. Come in here. Joey is our video director in the other room. He spent a lot of time with OJ.
Yeah.
Do you guys know each other?
Yeah, he met me before.
Oh, you met? Joey, did you know that?
I know the picture in there with him and OJ.
Yeah, Joey, get on this mic here. You did what? You guys did like one of the OJ's first video things afterwards, right?
Yeah, we did. It was a thing called AskOJ.com we were talking about.
Were you for that or against that?
I was against that.
You were against that too?
I was against it too, but
you
were? It was my job.
Why were you against it? I mean, that was pretty much like the first kind of Skype kind of thing where you'd get to talk to OJ and ask him questions.
Because I don't think that format works.
Yeah.
I think the only way for him to really get with the people is to get with the people. He had to get into the groups. And that's what we did. We put him in different events.
Yeah.
And, you know, had people around him. And that then you once you grow yourself out a little bit where people aren't totally hating on you, then you can go into that type of thing.
Okay. And you liked OJ.
I did. He was a real sweetheart. He's a super nice guy. Would sign stuff. You know, I have that picture in my office.
Yeah.
I asked him to sign it. He said, what do you want me to write? I said, well, just say I didn't do it. And he looked at me for a while.
And then he wrote it?
And then he wrote it. You know? Yeah. I thought he was going to hit me for a minute, but he's like, all right.
Did he ever snap out on you like he did on Norman and other people?
No, he was really cool. I mean, we spent probably 2 hours or so together and he told me the entire story from front to back. Because, you know, we were waiting for the stream to come up. The engineers were running around, so we're just sitting there on set. People would email us their questions. I had to read the questions to OJ, and then he would respond.
What was the hardest thing you had to say to OJ?
I think...
I could sit here and talk a lot of crap, but if OJ was sitting here, I'd probably be a little bit nicer, I think, if he was sitting right in front of me.
I think the one thing that I said is, come on, I mean, you know... Really, you know, did you really do it?
Yeah.
You know, and
so
and,
somebody sent that question like OJ was going to get suckered into it and go, all right, I did it.
And his response was super genuine. He's like, no, she was trying to get back with me.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying.
All right.
And, I mean, super nice, super nice. Sign anything, too. You know,
okay.
Good guy.
All right, get the hell out of here. Norman Pardo is here. Norman is the longtime friend and manager of OJ. How often do you have contact with him now? I know you said it's difficult and you have to go through other people.
It's more challenging. I'm still I know what he's doing all the time.
Yeah.
People in there tell me. And
is he miserable? Because he get you hear stories.
He's very sad because.
Because you're in jail.
You're in jail. Yeah. You got nowhere to go. You're in a box.
How you know how bad is it though? I was talking to my dad about this yesterday. That OJ really is in jail now for the murders.
Yes.
I mean that, and that's it. And that's that. Even for somebody who believes he's guilty, that's still kind of unfair.
It is. That's our justice system gone totally awry.
Right.
There's no excuse for what they did. You don't give anybody 33 years for getting your daughter's pictures back. He just went in for his daughter's pictures.
Well, even no matter what he was going for, it still doesn't seem like a crime worth 33 years. No. What does he? What are the options for him? Is there a chance he'd get out, or is he just stuck?
Well, he's eligible for parole next year.
Right.
But they have this little clause in his situation that even if he gets parole, he has to spend another year in county lockup.
Why?
Restitution or
something. I was going to say, but he's not, if he's proven to not be violent in jail for all this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a violent guy. You understand, when I say he's yelling at me, it's because me and him more were like brothers yelling at each other.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, he would do things I didn't like, and I'd tell him, and then he'd blow up like, you know, he knew what he was doing. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, he wanted to be in control, but at the same time, I did.
Well, he definitely has a violent streak. I mean, he's been in trouble before for beating up Nicole. I mean, we know that, right?
But that was a long, long time, and it wasn't that many times. People think it was a lot of times. He was only, in our investigation, it was only two times. One time was recorded,
right,
which you heard the recordings on. But if you actually listen to that recording, that's what started this whole, the murders in the first place. That recording set everything in motion.
Okay.
And people never really took the time to transcribe the recording. If you transcribe the recording, which we did, you can hear OJ clearly stating right there when he went into her thing, I want the black book that has all the drug dealers and prostitutes that's hanging around my children.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he went in for, and that's what he left with. And she even told the police he took that. And when he took that and he started by giving it to William Waz and said, these are the people that you're going to deal with.
Right.
And then after that, it went over, I think, to Glenn Rogers. So I think that's where the whole thing started moving into the wrong direction. And I don't think he meant harm. He just wanted it stopped. You understand? O.J. Simpson had no choice but to pay these drug dealers whatever she built up for debt.
Right.
I mean, he was caught in a bad situation. Something else that we came up with is the way it was set. You know, you remember the pictures of her all beat up.
Yes.
That they found in the safe.
Yes.
Basically said that if, OJ, you don't pay these bills, this is going to come out and destroy your career.
Right. Right.
You know, what wife has ever put stuff like that in a safe?
Mm.
So he knew there was no way that if she said, I need $50,000 this week, remember those pictures, he wasn't going to give it to her.
Sure, sure.
So I think in his mind he felt, I have to stop this bleeding. And he didn't want her to have the problem. He didn't want nothing to happen to her. I don't think that was ever the thing. He wanted the people dealing to her to stop. But it ended up going in the wrong direction. See, Glenn Rogers wasn't somebody you could deal with. You know, I've talked to him.
Right.
This guy.
Is he crazy or?
Totally crazy.
Right. I
mean, everyone he's ever killed, he cut up with a knife. He butchered every one of them with a knife. Same way, same type of knife, same everything. I mean, it's the exact same M.O. I mean, and he killed a lady just a mile from Nicole's house.
Will this come up in the TV show that's on now? The People vs. OJ?
Not in the one they produced.
But the one they produced is not, they say, is, you know, not, well, I guess it's more about OJ than not so much about the crime. I don't know. Are they trying to reintroduce the crime?
They've just basically gone by what everybody's told. It's the trial. They watched the videos, and now they're making a movie.
Yeah, so there's no further.
The people who were involved, who actually know what happened behind the scenes, was, you know, Johnny Cochran and O.J. Simpson. That's the only two.
Right.
Because they had most all their meetings were private.
Right.
And neither one of them helped with this movie.
so they're really speculating. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just winging it and speculating. But it makes for good TV. It's like CSI.
What about Ron Goldman? Is he just a victim of circumstance?
It's hard to tell with him because, as well as our investigators, all of his records are sealed because he was a drug informant.
Right. An informant?
Yes.
Really?
He was a drug informant just like the other one. So the problem sits is here we have a drug informant meeting with Nicole. We got a guy who's supposed to take care of the drug problem, and he kills Ron. So it's sort of, in my opinion,
right,
it doesn't look good for Ron.
Let me ask you, back that up for a second. Did they seal him up as a drug informant so they could seal up those documents, or he really had something to do with being a drug informant?
He was a real drug informant.
Really?
He was arrested numerous times. His records went way on.
Ah,
so
see, that's something
else.
If
you Google Ron Goldman and his records, you'll find it. They're there, but they're sealed. You can't get them open.
No kidding.
So the problem sits with the people that we need to get to. To really find out what happened, and the public could find out what happened, they're not allowing it. So it's almost like a blockade. You've got the police convicting OJ. And could you imagine if they said, oops, our bad, it wasn't really OJ after all?
Well,
how
all right.
much money they would have to pay back to him and pay back to everybody, and it would be a multi-billion dollar
suit. But OJ was not found guilty. He was found guilty only in the civil trial. So
yes.
So what would they have to pay him back for? I mean, he's...
Well, the civil trial, they took his house, they took everything.
Okay. But now we're talking so many years later. So even if they waited another 10 years to do this.
All the income he missed over 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, they'd be. Yeah, you're right.
He wouldn't be able to pay that back.
No.
And the judgment, the $33 million judgment he had against him, you know, all this money would go, it would be a mess.
Oh, you're making Fred Goldman's mustache go.
Right now. He's already mad. He tried to get my tapes.
Why? You're not profiting off of the tapes yet, are you?
It doesn't matter if I profit. It's my tapes.
No, but I'm saying, I mean, I know that's what he wants. So, yeah.
He just, anything that has anything to do with O.J. Simpson, he wanted the right of publicity for O.J. Simpson. So he took him to court to get the right of publicity. My attorney intervened, stopped that
right
in its tracks, because it was like, you can't do that. But
what will you do with the tapes? I know there's been I saw the trailer, yeah. And I know there's some footage there. Will there be?
We're going to finish our miniseries. See, we were doing a 10-part miniseries, People versus O.J. Simpson.
Right.
And then
how
they,
ironic.
And they, I know, it was yeah. And that's why the .com exists. And then they switched their name. That, you know, they were doing a run for his life, a Jeffrey Toobin book,
right.
American Crime Story. And then they switched it over to People versus O.J. Simpson, and we got a lot of backlash out of that because, you know, people, my shareholders asked me, how are we able to afford, you know, John Travolta? They were freaking out. They were like, wow, how did we get John Travolta in our movie? I'm like, no, there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
And then they started all these different people coming. I said, this is not us.
Yeah.
You know, and so I had to try to set the record straight, but it was impossible. You know, you got Hollywood. And you know, my story is different than their story, and it, you know, nobody wants the real story.
I'm very interested in your story. I want to hear. I want to see all this information that I'm unaware of until today. That I would think that the average American citizen is convinced that OJ is guilty, does not know all this information.
I tell you what you do is turn all that footage over to the people that made Making a Murderer for Netflix.
Oh yeah,
give it to them, and that'd be unbelievable because that just went through the roof.
Yeah, well, people have been asking me for mine, but we would like, I would like to do my own.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got so many people involved, so many investigators. It's just a lot of work, you know, other than theirs was just a movie put out off of an old thing.
Right.
Ours is out based on reality.
And with the reality footage.
And having O.J. Simpson play himself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because he's in mine, you know, not Cuda Gooding Jr. I mean, we thought about doing a farce, actually. I was thinking, because of what they did to me, I was thinking what we should do is just have a talent contest and find somebody that resembles Cuda Gooding Jr. playing Cuda Gooding Jr. playing O.J. Simpson.
It's Cuba, not Cuda.
I'm sorry.
I like Cuda better.
Cuda.
It's short for Barracuda.
Everybody says, who, you know, it was just a bad choice for being O.J. Simpson.
But they had to pay so much money for Travolta, they couldn't afford to get a better actor. So they
that it was probably hard to get somebody to play O.J., you know, because, you know, when you leave there, what if people think you are O.J.?
Oh, that's true. That's true. You so. too much associated. Corey, what do you know about Glenn Rogers?
Is that the one that there is a documentary on Netflix about?
Yes. Yeah, my brother, the serial killer. Killed
okay,
Nicole.
Yeah, that's the one I saw. So.
And is a documentary about his involvement with the Simpson case or just his murders in general?
It's his murders in general, but toward the end, they go into about the Simpson and him hanging out with Nicole Simpson.
And what did you say he was doing? Painting in their house?
Yes.
So nobody, clearly, they didn't get him off of Angie's list.
And he was with her the night before. He was, because, you know, he had a thing for Nicole. He was with her the night before at a nightclub. They had pictures of him.
He doesn't look like the kind of guy that should be able to hang out with Nicole. Unless he was.
He didn't look bad. They called him the Casanova killer.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at. Oh, okay. There, when you look him up close.
Yeah. You know, now the picture, he looks pretty rusty.
That's the thing. I guess I'm seeing a.
Yeah. The when he was around doing that, they were. He was Casanova.
No kidding, so, huh?
He was known for killing people and a lot of women, all the same way. Everyone with a knife. He liked to make them hurt, cut their basic the head and the whole nine yards.
Really?
Same exact cuts. That's the sad thing, that nobody even wants to go in that
direction. I was going to say, I mean, how is that? That seems like such an obvious.
When was the last time a serial killer painted your house and he wasn't the one who killed you?
Right. Yeah. In the same style that.
murdered a lady a mile away.
Yeah. Exactly. And murdered a lady a mile. It's just never happened. So, I mean, it's just amazing how people. You can cover something up because you have a direction, and they can't back out. Can you imagine what the. But back then you had the Rampart scandal. Remember where all the police officers were planting evidence on minorities and stealing their drugs and whatnot?
Sure.
You know, 70 cops were convicted after the OJ trial. They had to let out, they paid out $100 million in suits.
Right.
And let out 70 or something like that, went into prison or something. A lot of people went to prison. All from the Rampart scandal, all from Furman's department. It sort of makes you wonder, was he the only honest cop in the department? Yeah. That's what they're saying. They're saying, oh, he wouldn't do it, but everybody else did.
I said to Galvin after we watched the first episode that I felt like they were making Furman out from the get-go to be like the guy who planted this stuff.
Yeah.
Because the number one thing was when they were in the house and in the murder house, and somebody says, well, we got to find OJ. And Furman, I was there a couple years ago I know exactly where his house is. I couldn't find a house I'd been to one time in my life 2 years ago. It seemed like he was too anxious to get over there. And then he went in there solo where they found the glove. I mean, and that was obviously something that they used in the defense. I don't care whether he was a racist or not, but it seems like a crooked cop would have been more like it.
Well, he did find all the evidence.
All the evidence,
The blood drops was, he found that. He found the glove. He found everything that needed to be found at the time.
Mm. Well, Norman Pardo, his website is The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Nothing to do with the show that is on TV right now, but real 70 hours of footage that Norm has taken of the time that he spent with O.J. And I really would like to see your finished product. I would like to see this done. What's the timeline? I mean, is there a real possibility this can be done?
We're hoping to get it done by the end of this year.
Oh, really?
I'm
okay.
I'm pushing to get it back out. What we're doing now is just waiting on their People versus O.J. Simpson to be finished.
Sure.
And then mine will just basically combat everything they said.
Well, that's great. Follow. So it's going to be let everybody get reinterested in the case again. I mean, there are guys like these kids over here who really don't know anything about it other than what they've heard over the years. Now let them get into it and then be hit with yours. That's brilliant.
So that's we've decided, instead of being mad at them for what they did, I've decided that may be good.
Let's use them as a slingshot into some publicity. Yeah. I think it's brilliant.
So I was looking for some of the editors from here. You know, I'm from here.
Right.
I stay here half of the year and in Michigan half the year.
And what do you do here? Anything? Now you.
Where I do business, you know, my real thing is business organization. Mm. I help companies reorganize and fix their businesses that are struggling.
Right.
And I help, you know, celebrities and politicians. I helped a couple of them run for the White House.
Are you the guy that I call when I've accidentally killed a hooker? And I go,
if
Norman,
something bad happens,
you're
people
the fixer.
Call me.
Trump, what has Trump had to call you for?
Oh, Trump would never call. He seems to be doing just fine on his own. You know, people don't realize he's winning because of tactics that I would use. The society has changed, and people don't really change. See, I think out of the box. That's what makes when I do things with people and businesses. You got to think out of the box. You can't go at this the way it used to be. He's what people are now. We're a tabloid society.
Sure.
He's tabloid. You know, that's why you got the Kardashians. You've got the people like that. And
he's giving them exactly what they want.
Exactly. So he's going into direct. If I was helping somebody run, which I did, and they would go that direction, they would be successful.
Who did you help run? Is that confidential? Or?
Yes, I don't tell people because I'm the OJ guy, so I'm always the one behind the scenes.
Because, gotcha.
You know, people, you don't want a negative.
So let me ask you, if you were to, so Jeb Bush is desperate right now.
Yeah.
If he came to you and said, what can I do to make these people like me? What would be the first thing you'd say to him?
He's got to change his image and his mannerisms.
Can he do that before this election's over? No.
He could.
Yeah.
He'd have to be a crash course.
Yeah.
But the way he is now, it looks like he's a mama boy, and it's, he deserves things. And when you look at, oh, mama tell him, I deserve this. You got to get away from that.
Yeah.
Because people want somebody who's, you know.
Who's going to call another guy pussy.
Yeah, his biggest problem sits is he's a Bush.
Yeah.
You know, everybody looks at, you know, George Bush starting all this mess with the terrorists.
Yep.
Do you want another Bush in here to finish us off?
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that he has to figure out. I don't think he has a chance of ever winning, period.
No.
If he does, it's strictly a lot of crooked stuff took place because he has too much baggage, and anybody, including Trump, is going to say, why do we want you in here when your brother did this in the first place? We wouldn't have ISIS. We wouldn't have all these people without him.
Right.
So, I mean, that's going to come up sooner or later, be him or
sure.
Be, you know, that. You know, and you've got Cruz, the Canadian thing's going to pop up. So Trump has it right now.
Oh, yeah.
He keeps running the way he's running with it. He's going to be a windfall.
Hillary, what would you tell Trump to do? Punch a lady in the face next?
No, but I think he's done just about everything. But yeah. I get a kick out of it.
So do know? I. You know? I can't even say whether or not I'd vote for him, but I'm loving watching every second of what he does. I think he's so entertaining. He's a perfect reflection of society today. And yeah. What I was saying is I watched over time political talk radio, conservative talk radio, went from ha 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 Donald Trump to now making excuses. Well, you know, Donald Trump did say that. Yeah, oh, because now they're seeing the light,
yep.
And they're realizing they better get behind this guy because he's probably going to be the next president.
You got to have an outsider right now running. Hillary, she has. If she wins, it's the same situation as Bush.
Yeah.
Nobody really wants her to win.
No.
But they're trying
too much baggage for her too.
Way too much. Yeah. I mean, you'll have everything pop out on them. That's OJ's person. Though.
Right.
He likes her.
He likes Hillary?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he's friends with
I like Bill, but I don't like Hillary.
I know. Well, he's friends with Bill.
Him and Bill golf together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Bill run broads together. That's what I hear.
What's ironic is they golfed after the trial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember when he went in to get his heart operation, Bill was OJ was going to golf with him. He said, I can't golf with Bill today because he's getting a heart operation tomorrow. And I was like, yeah. I thought for, you know, it was bull.
Right.
In the 2000s. That was way after the murder.
Sure.
And lo and behold, it was in the news. You know, Bill's going in for a triple bypass. I'm like, geez, so you're really
telling golf? The truth, yeah.
You're telling the truth. So that's what you have to do with OJ. You have to, you know, read between the lines. But I noticed some of the most powerful people still like him.
Who else likes OJ?
It's hard. A lot of people.
Yeah. And
when I travel around with him, the people that like him or the people that's always liked him, they just can't say it. You have to act. He's a murderer. You have to say he's a murderer. And they tell you up front. You know, and OJ's cool with that. He's like, I know when we're behind the scenes, you know, we're okay. But when we're out front.
Yeah, you got to be a different person.
I'm a murderer now. And he is, I'm appalled that you're here. So many people interviewed him on the radio, and they're so nice. It's like Wendy Williams. Oh, you know, most of the people are appalled you're here, and I can't believe you're in my studio right now. And OJ just looks at her. It's funny because he's like,
well, 5 minutes ago,
you're just hugging me.
Yeah.
You put your baby in my lap. You know, I filmed all this.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, so I have the other side of the story when somebody's saying it. I thought that was sort of funny how people, you have to hate on OJ a little bit in order to
I don't know how I'd be. I mean, I always say I'd interview Hitler if you could bring him in here. I'll interview anybody of interest, you know. I would love to interview OJ. Yeah. But I don't know if I'd be mad at OJ. I don't care. I've talked. I know people have killed other people. I don't care. I had nothing to do with it.
Well, that's what I tell people. Yeah. I didn't do it.
Yeah, right.
He didn't kill anybody I know.
I didn't know them. I don't, you know.
Yeah, no,
if he came in here and started off the air and being like, and then I cut her throat while she was crying, I'd be like, okay, you're a scumbag. But I don't want to know any of the details. I'm looking at it from a business point of view. Boy, this is very interesting. This is Norman Pardo. I appreciate you coming in here today and getting up early and coming over.
Yeah, it's a long drive.
Well, is it? I don't wait. I thought you lived here in St. Pete.
I did. Oh, just traffic is a long drive.
Well, I really do appreciate you coming in because this is a lot of information that I never knew before today.
Very interesting.
And it makes me really want to look forward to your stuff that comes out. And I want to go now and watch a documentary about the other guy, the painter.
Yeah,
and find out about him.
He's a very sick individual.
Yeah.
I mean, the best way to put it. I sort of, you know, I feel sorry for OJ because he's gotten himself into a situation that can never be fixed.
And it could have been fixed before. It could have been prevented.
If everybody, even if OJ was there,
yeah.
If the investigators had done their job right, we could have at least showed this is what really happened.
Right, and
now,
OJ.
Nobody will ever know what really happened because it's too messed up. We can only go by... you know, what he tells me, I can sort of follow these leads. And then, okay, this didn't happen, OJ. You fibbed a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I twist that back around and get it back over to the right direction. And that's what we had to do, because
I hear those conversations. All right, you're right.
Yeah, and OJ's good at that. He's like, okay. You know, but so this stuff he does, some say it's because of CTE. Who knows what it is. It could be, because he's not – there's definitely something that's not right inside of him.
Right.
He's got a kid mentality a lot of times. And
but that also comes with early celebrity, don't you think? Somebody who's been as successful as he has and people start kissing your ass at such a young age, you get this sense of entitlement, the same thing where he thinks he could yell at you you're a grown man, and you don't see normal guys doing that. But sometimes athletes – they get that level of celebrity where they feel like they could treat other people like crap.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt that was there. But most of the time with OJ, he always tried to treat everybody pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's just me and him, we would clash horns. But that was only because...
You were trying to do the right thing, and he was being OJ.
And he was being OJ, and he wanted to do it his way. We would never have been successful at the gigs.
Right.
Doing it his way. I let him try.
Yeah,
because the last two gigs we did, I said, okay, OJ, you're in control now.
Do it your way. And what did he screw up?
Well, the last event we did, there was three people show up.
Oh, really?
It was that sad, and he sat in the corner. He was so depressed. He's like, well, it didn't work. I'm like, no, because when I put things together, it's like a chess game.
Yeah.
I move all my pieces.
The right way.
You know, you have to do it. If you're a promoter, this is what you do. But you're not a promoter. You just feel you can go on the radio, say something, everybody's going to be there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work like that. You have to have street people. There's a lot more involved.
Would you say it would be a good idea for him to do a knife endorsement? That would Ginsu wants him to be the spokesman. Awesome. You'd say yes or no?
Well, he did that.
He did. I mean, I didn't even know that.
Some of the things he did, that was like, why did you sign knives?
Oh, he signed them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he signed knives, and I'm like, he's like, well, that's all he would say, and he would laugh it off, and I'm like, that was not good. Yeah, that's how he had to treat. Like, that wasn't good.
Man, you must lay in bed at night and go, God. Idiots.
And well, you know, and then here my attorney calls me and says, I told you couldn't do it. You know, we got this bet going. I'm like, it's not over yet.
Yeah.
But
good
then
luck.
After the If I Did It book, it was sort of, that's when I said it's sort of over. I said, I will talk, you know, we're friends.
Right.
And all that. We're cool. It just, we can't go places and do gigs because of, you know, I was moving him more in the direction of college speaking and that type of thing.
Right.
That was more of a cleaner venue.
And he was wanting to do strip club functions and things along those lines. I got you.
So we were totally in the strip things. He never really, that's the irony of the whole thing, he never got a lap dance.
No, but just being in those surroundings enough to make people bring you down.
He wanted to you know, to buy everybody else lap dances.
Right. So,
but he never took one. I'm the only one who's got a video footage of him getting one.
He's
mad. He's like, I never had one until now. Now I got one, and you
got it on tape. Yeah.
I like, well,
nothing kills a boner like Norman and his camera. I'll tell you that.
I know. It was like everywhere he went. But you know, after a while, he forgot the camera was on. That was the whole thing. And he would just be an OJ, and he was talking about everything from his girlfriend and what he liked to do with her.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got somebody who's just so familiar with you and your stuff, he just opens up.
Oh, it's like being in this room. I say things on the air sometimes and I'm like, I can't believe I just said that. You get so comfortable being in here.
Exactly.
It's therapeutic too to just start talking.
And that's why we did it over a period of years.
Yeah.
We didn't just do it in, you know, one time where that was the difference between seeing OJ and then seeing the real OJ.
Right.
There's two, and I
comfortable nobody's really around OJ.
Yeah, when people see my footage, I have ESPN's doing a 30 for 30. It's a
event,
you know, and they got a little bit of my footage. And it's huge. They have a 10-hour special.
Oh, no
kidding. It's the largest one they've ever done. You know, I'm supposed to, they interviewed me and put a little bit of my stuff in there to show.
Yeah.
Because they had a hard time. They came down, they looked at my footage, and they're like, wow, this is not OJ.
Yeah.
And then they because it's so different between the new OJ and the old one. It was a changeover.
Where can you see anything now just beside the trailer?
No, that's all I've got.
Okay, that's smart.
I'm trying to keep everything as close to as I can possibly get it.
All right. Well, look, when you decide to do what you're going to do, hopefully you'll come back and promote it here because I really enjoyed talking to you today.
Anytime you want me in, just give me a yell because I know they're running a bunch of stuff right now if you've got any questions.
That's true. If there's anything, we can call you so you don't have to drive all over here. But now that we know you, that's the thing. If anything comes up or we find that there's some controversy in the show or something we know to be different, I'd love to be able to check in with you.
Oh, no. Anytime. I don't mind doing this.
Yeah, oh, good.
In the next probably 6 months to a year, there's actually a company in Michigan that wants me to do a show with somebody else.
Right, okay.
And they want me to have my own thing because I am connected to a lot of Hollywood.
Good. And I will, if I accidentally kill a hooker, you may get a call from me in the middle of the night. Norman, she's not breathing.
I don't
breathing.
Mind it. Or if your business starts struggling. You know?
Let's hope that never happens.
You never know. The hooker thing is way more likely
than my business to be struggling.
Well, you never know. I had a newspaper company in Michigan come to me, and they said, well, we're struggling newspapers. You know, they are dying.
Right.
I was able to double their revenue in 6 months.
What if I got caught cheating the Nielsen ratings? No, forget it. Let's not talk about that. It's an entirely different story.
You know, I've heard rumors of that.
Not here. You didn't tell you that.
It wasn't you.
No,
but
it was not me.
Somebody in the area.
Yes. Good luck with fixing that thing.
Oh, you can't fix it.
Can't fix the Titanic, my man. Norman, very nice to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.